Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The theme of our message this day is Satan's hand and God's hand in society today. And I would invite you to take the sheet that is printed out. You have the text printed twice in your bulletin. Take the sheet that is separate in order to follow along with the text if you so desire. It is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, where we are told the whole world spoke one language with the same vocabulary. As the people migrated southeast, they found a plain in the territory of Shinar, that is Babylonia, and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make oven-fired bricks." They used bricks for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top reaching up to heaven. Let us make ourselves significant to keep from being scattered all over the earth." Then the Lord came down to take a look at the city and the tower the humans were building. The Lord said, "Look, the people are united. They all have the same language, and look what they are starting to do. At this rate, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not be able to understand each other's speech." So from there, the Lord scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it is called Babylon, because there the Lord made a babel, a confusion of the language of the whole world. And from that place, the Lord scattered them all over the earth. In the name of Jesus, fellow redeemed. Well, it didn't take long for the world to go bad again. What do I mean? Just 100 years before that, God had wiped out an entire generation over the face of the earth with the Genesis flood. And just 100 years later, the whole world is corrupted again. Why was that? Well, you see, we are told at the beginning of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them in his own image. But 130 years later, after an event where the first son, Cain, killed his brother, the second son of Adam and Eve, murdered him. Well, 130 years after Adam had been created, he brought forth a son by the name of Seth. And the Bible reports that Seth came into the world in the image of Adam. No longer were people being born in the image of God. They weren't being born holy, but now they were very sinful when they came in, and we are seeing the effects of all of that as God had to destroy the world first with the flood and then reassert his authority in the world by spreading people all over the world speaking languages that many did not understand except the ones that were speaking those languages. Now you will not understand what I read to you before, those 9 verses of chapter 11, unless you know Genesis chapter 10. Oh, it's not one of the most favorite chapters. It's got all of those hard names in it, right? Called a genealogy. And it's the genealogy of the 3 sons of Noah who came off of the ark. The oldest son, Shem, the middle brother, Jephthah, and the youngest brother, Ham. And God had told them, as they got off of the ark, multiply, spread out over all the earth. Well, it probably was a very scary thing to step off of that ark. You know, the world, the layout of the mountains and the valleys and everything was quite different to the eyes of Noah and his family when they stepped off. That universal flood had changed things. And you know how things have been changed in America with COVID-19. Would you have thought a year ago that you would see such changes and such fears in people? Well, the people that stepped off of that ark, they probably had some of those same fears. And as the years passed, and we go 100 years to the time when they decided to make a name for themselves, to become very significant, to put man ahead of God, there were probably a good 300 to 500 people that were generated in that 100 years. And they said, let's build a city. And let's build a tower that goes way, way up there. In fact, let me go back to the text and go through it verse by verse, because this is something so significant. Well, it says at the time, 100 years after the flood, the whole world spoke one language. Wow, wouldn't that be nice? Everybody be able to communicate with one another. And they all had the same vocabulary. So you couldn't have a politician con somebody with semantics. All the words meant the same thing, and everybody understood it exactly as it was. No double talk. As the people migrated east, I put in southeast, because I know they're going to go from Mount Ararat, and they're going to travel east, but they'll have to go south in order to get to this plain called Shinar, which you and I know as Babylonia today. You know, that territory where Saddam Hussein was. It was Iraq, but not called that in that day. So they traveled southeast and settled in that territory. And they said to one another, now watch what is starting to happen. They said, come, let us make oven-fired bricks. In other words, they want to make permanent residence. They're not just going to use mud between ordinary bricks. They want ones that are going to last, like stones. So they use bricks for stone and asphalt for mortar. Now you have to know something from Genesis chapter 9 to understand this. In chapter 8, where God had said, multiply and spread out over the whole earth. And they are saying now, no, we're going to settle right here and we're going to make this our permanent residence. This city, this tower. And they said, adding, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, with its top reaching up to heaven. Let's build it very, very high. Now you got to understand why they want to do this. By this time, unbelief is coming back to reign over the inhabitants of the world. You see, God had said, I'll never send another flood to wipe you out. And they're thinking as human beings, wonder if that's true. Maybe there's not even a God who controls it, and water will destroy us. So we're going to build a nice high tower, and if a flood ever comes again, we're going to climb up to the top, and we will be safe. Obviously, they did not know the power of water. There's probably no force on earth, even nuclear power, that is as strong as water when it is against you. And that little tower, that puny thing that God saw down there, would have lasted not very long. All right? So they said, let us. Notice how they're talking about themselves. Let us now, third time. Let us make ourselves significant. Oh, we're the important people around here. We've never heard that in our world today, right? Politicians first get elected, then the main goal, to help people, to get reelected, and then to make lots of money and have lots of fame, right? Here we have it. It's called the human condition. So let us make ourselves significant to keep away from being scattered over the earth. Notice, they know exactly what God had told Noah. Scatter yourself out, spread out. And they said, no, not gonna do it. It's called humanism, putting man on the throne and taking God off his throne. Verse 5, then the Lord came down. I love it. There, you know, Moses writes with great humor here. First, they're gonna build up. And then God said, oh, what does it say here? Then the Lord came down to take a look at the city and the tower the humans were building. It's like God says, wow, what are they up to down there? That thing they're building down there looks like a pimple on a person's face. I can't even see it from up here. It's so far down there. I think I'll go down there and take a peek and see what they're up to. Obviously, God knew exactly what they were up to, but he's using human language in order to bring across the power of the text. Verse 6, the Lord said, look, the people are united. I want you to pick that up. He says they are one. They are united together. And you know what I'm going to be talking about in a little bit, correct? Because we have a prototype here, don't we? This tower was the prototype of the United Nations building that sits in New York. Man is still up to his same tricks. They were united, and they were united against God. That's the problem in the world. Unification against God, not unification for God. So it says, the Lord said, look, the people are united. They all have the same language. And look what they are starting to do. Just starting. At this rate, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Are you making the relationship? With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. But man is trying to take the place of God, and God said, wow, now nothing's going to be impossible. Take yourself back about 10 years. Go back 20. In this new millennium, wow, have we seen some changes in cell phones, what can be done here and there on a Google search, means of transportation, all kinds of cars that can drive themselves. Who knows what's going to be happening in the next 20 years, right? Man is on the loose, and God has given him great possibilities, great abilities, because he made a great creation. but it are people using those powers, those talents, to the glory of God or to the glory of man. We see it on the face of the earth, don't we? It's called oligarchy, ruling of the few over the masses, because we have some people who just think they know how to run our lives better than what we know how to run our own lives. It is everywhere. That is the power of communism, for example. Socialism. They know what's best for the other guy, but they benefit from it. You see, socialism, all are equal, but some are a little bit more equal. You've heard that before, haven't we? Well, this is what happened. This is where it started, at the Tower of Babel. So God says, I have to save my kingdom, or this Savior who is going to be coming to wash away the sins of all the people, he'll never have a chance down there on earth. And of course, Herod tried to wipe him out, didn't he, when he was born, by killing the babies in Bethlehem. It was just a repeat. Over and over and over in history, man has plotted against God. As it says in Psalm 2, in the great prediction, why are the nations getting together so noisily and the people plotting so uselessly? The kings of the earth are taking their stand, and the politicians are planning together against the Lord and against his anointed, the Messiah, and they are saying, let us tear their ropes in pieces and throw their cords away. Sitting on his throne in heaven, the Lord laughs and mocks at them. Then he talks to them angrily, and by his fury he terrifies them and says, I installed my king on Zion, on my holy hill. Of course, that is our hope, isn't it, as Christians? In the midst of this biochemical warfare, make no doubt about it, it was planned by China, and it was sent. And when you see Beijing and Shanghai, not far from Wuhan, that nobody of the politicians, no one of the military leaders have gotten COVID-19, wake up and know that this is chemical warfare. Just like there was anthrax a few weeks ago, the enemies of the world are coming after the people they don't like. But our God is with us. And as he knew how to step into history in the time of Abraham to call him out of a pagan territory where Abraham's own father worshiped idols, to call him out in order that he might send Jesus through his line, his genealogy. Make sure you know that God is still on the throne in your life also. He knows you. Even though you and I are nobodies in a way, our Jesus was willing to come down and become a nobody that you and I might become somebody, and he will save us. He will intervene and help according to his plan, his timing, because with him, nothing is impossible. So it says here in the text, so from there, the Lord scattered them all over the earth. He did not let them get too much of a foothold. And he had to do it over and over and over and over in history, and still does it today. And he does it in such clever ways. Remember Alexander the Great, and remember, none of the kingdoms of this world are friends of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is anti-Christ. But You will remember with Alexander, who stood at age 33 and cried in India because there were no more kingdoms to conquer, he thought, that God secretly used Alexander as a way to spread the gospel in the New Testament, because everywhere Alexander went, he left soldiers behind who spoke the Greek language, taught the conquered people Greek, so that when the Apostle Paul showed up and Peter, they could go all over the world and speak a lingua franca called Greek, and people could understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. But many are the languages today. And so it says here, they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babylon, because there the Lord made a Babel. It's a play on words in the Hebrew. He caused confusion of the language of the whole world. You know, Luther commented on this. He said, you think the flood was bad? He said, that only wiped out one generation. This curse of God has affected the generations all the way through history, from the time of the Tower of Babel to yours and my time. And isn't it interesting, if you listen to the radio and you want to learn another language, what is the program that they want you to buy? Babel. Interesting. The more things change, the more they do not change. And so it is, it says, and from that place the Lord scattered them all over the earth. I mentioned Genesis 10, the table of nations. It takes those three sons, Shem, Jephthah, Ham, and it tells us how their descendants, and you can trace them by their names, like Canaan. Well, we know where Canaan was located when Joshua led the people in. We know where Mitzrayim was, one of the sons of Ham. That's our modern word, Egypt. You know where Cush is. That's called Ethiopia. Oh, it tells us where they went, all over the face of the earth in Genesis 10, the table of nations. And the reason they got spread all over is chapter 11, because God stopped the building of that first United Nations building, and he spread them out, but the devil doesn't give up. Satan's hand, his fingerprints are all over society, and he has been working so hard to get the whole world united again against God. And it started in earnest with the League of Nations under Woodrow Wilson, a real idealist who was going to make the world a good place, right? Good luck. Then the United Nations, and we've seen how that has turned out. Remember, there were, first of all, just a few nations that controlled it. Now those nations are controlled by other nations. You say, but it's such a nice organization. They got the World Health Organization to really try to help people, right? The WHO, World Health Organization, WHO. And then we look who sits on the board. One of the most powerful women on that board, wife of the president of China. Duh. You think they're our friends? Wake up. The kingdoms of this world are not the friends of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read Daniel 2, where the statue, the four parts of it, are all the kingdoms against Jesus. And the only hope is that there came a little stone, and it grew bigger and bigger and bigger and rolled across the feet and destroyed those kingdoms. And it was the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But people are still fighting against it to this very day. What's the message today? God lets things only go so far. And I think it's almost to the end. You know, in Luke 17, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, So it will be right before I come back. What does Genesis 6 say? The world was filled with crime and violence. Oh, sounds a little bit like our world. Maybe it's like the days of Noah again. And I want you to remember something. Noah was 600 years old when the flood started. He was 601 years old when the flood ended a year later. And then he lived 350 years more. That means Noah was still alive when the Tower of Babel was being built. And his son Shem had a great-great-grandson 100 years later named Peleg, and his name means division. And the Bible in Genesis 10, the Table of Nations, says, in his day, in the days of this little boy named division, the world was divided. It means they were divided by their languages. And so it is that you and I, we live in a day and age when we have a new Tower of Babel, where the devil's hand is out there in society trying to control things against God, unification against God. But we know that our God is stronger and he can unify it all under our Lord Jesus Christ. You know this division of languages? All you have to do is go to one of the last books of the Old Testament called Zephaniah chapter 3. And it says, one day I will put them together again under a pure language. That happened at Pentecost. Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out and 3,000 people were baptized in one day, it was there that God reversed the edict of the Tower of Babel and heard people hear one language again, the language of the good news of Jesus Christ. Of course, Satan didn't forget that, and he's been working to get it confused again. And God's working to get you and me unconfused through faith, trusting in Jesus. He will carry us to the end safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts, our minds, through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.